and gentlemen, welcome to a special episode of the Experience Hockey Talk. I'm Michael Lindebaum, and we are brought to you by the Till the Kilt Frederick. The Till the Kilt Pub and Eatery, located at 5605 Spectrum Drive in Frederick, Maryland, come to the Celtic-themed sports pub featuring the world-famous Till the Kilt Girls. For more information on the Till the Kilt Frederick, visit them on Facebook today. And as I mentioned, this is an NWHL special, and which is always brought to you by AwesomeCon. AwesomeCon, which is June 3rd through 5th, 2016, at the Walter E. Washington Convention Center in Washington, D.C. Come see special guests like Adam West, Burt Ward, Marina Baccarin, and many others. For more information, please visit awesome-con.com. And the reason we are having this NWHL special of the Experience Hockey Talk is because recently the New York Riveters had gone to Japan to do an exhibition series. And with me now is New York Riveters goaltender, Jenny Scrivens. Jenny, welcome to the Experience Hockey Talk. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you, Michael?
I am doing fine. Now, first off, I jokingly said this to you, and I'm going to jokingly say this to you again. I hate you for going to Japan. I want to go so badly. But
yeah.
What was it like? First off, how did the exhibition series with the Japanese national team happen? Like, how did it all get set up?
Oh, it was all set up way before I got there, but I know that it was, it obviously had a lot to do with one of our goaltenders, Nana Fujimoto, and the relationship that the NWHL has developed with Team Japan and with growing hockey and women's hockey in Japan. So that was kind of the entire incentive for going out there, and it allowed us to play three games against Smile Japan, which was so much fun.
And we'll get to the games a little bit later. I want to talk about some of the other things that many people may not know about. And that's when you went to Japan, what was your first impressions, first and foremost, of going out there?
I asked around to some of my friends who had been there and asked for some advice, and everyone told us to go to 7-Elevens, which really surprised me. So as soon as we got to the airport after flying for 14 some odd hours, we found a 7-Eleven in the airport, and it was amusing, to say the least. They just have lots of, you know, really interesting food items and things you would never see in the States. So,
well, that's not true. You could go to a Five Below and find this stuff too. Mm-hmm. But go on. What was some of the other things that first opened your eyes when you got there?
Everyone we talked to and everyone we met was really nice. I don't know if it's appropriate to generalize an entire country or culture, but everyone seemed very warm and welcoming and happy to have us there. So it made the trip so much better. I mean, even after traveling so far, because we played at home late Sunday night, and really it was like a 5-hour turnaround before we had to be back at the rink packing up to get on our flight and go. So it really didn't set us up to be in the best moods after all that travel, but everyone was really warm and welcoming.
Now, getting into more of the culture of Japan, obviously one big thing that I saw pictures a lot of was food.
Yeah.
What is the culture of the food like over there?
Well, when we were in Nikko, which is about a 3-hour drive outside of Tokyo, we went to one hotel, and we were, I guess it was sort of catered, but we ate at the same restaurant essentially for every meal. And the food was really good. It was different every single time. There was usually a soup option, some sort of hot pot with fish or pork or something. I remember having spring rolls and shrimp tempura, but just lots and lots of little options of food. So there were, you know, so many meals where I didn't even know what everything was sitting in front of me, but you just kind of try it just because when else are you going to get this opportunity? And for the most part, I enjoyed it. For me, having rice with every single meal got a little bit monotonous, but everything tasted good. It was interesting. Not our typical pasta pregame meals, but it was good.
What was it like? Which would you consider better, having the Japanese food made for you in Japan or at some Japanese restaurant here over in the States?
Oh, definitely the real deal was better.
And bringing that up, you mentioned earlier that one of the big things that you wanted to that this purpose of this exhibition series was to help grow the game of women's hockey in Japan.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Overall, as a whole, what is the hockey culture like in Japan as a whole? Because realistically, one of the things I read doing research on another project was that it wasn't really much. And then when the 98 Olympics happened in Nagano, mm-hmm. and the NHL players first got to go over there, which was also a disaster for the NHL at the same time, that it started maybe a possible revolution for hockey in Japan as a whole. What was it like over there for the hockey culture when you went over there?
Yeah, I'm not sure if I can speak to, you know, the entire hockey culture in Japan, but from what I saw in Nikko, you know, there are a lot of fans of women's hockey there and a lot of fans of hockey in general. There's the rink we skated out of, there was a men's professional team there, and it looked like they had quite a good fan base. But, I mean, they love hockey and they, you know, they really wanted to get behind Team Japan. And I don't know if Team Japan has played out of Nikko before, if that was their first chance to see it. But we got to meet some fans before and after the games who had driven for hours and hours and hours just to see these games. So that was pretty cool to see.
Now, what was some of the other things in Japan that you were most impressed with when you're over there?
In terms of hockey?
Anything.
Or anything.
Anything. I'm picking your brain because you got to do something I never got to do yet.
Well, we flew out on Monday and it took, you know, almost all day. And then with the time change, we basically landed Tuesday and went right to the rink to practice. So that was something I had never, ever done before, was travel for 15 hours, 16 hours, and then go straight to practice. So that was kind of when it dawned on me, like, okay, we are professional athletes. We have to do this because, you know, back in college or back in my, you know, club hockey days, I probably would have just complained about it the entire time. But when you're paid to do that, you don't really have that luxury. So we flew forever. We went right to the rink and skated, and everyone was still in really good spirits. I mean, it was fun. It was exciting. We're in Japan. Like, whoever thought we'd ever be in Japan playing hockey? And then after that, we got our first Japanese meal at the hotel, and it was good. Maybe we were all really starving too, but so that kind of set the tone for the trip. We were there to play hockey, and yes, we did get one day off to go to Tokyo and to sightsee a little bit, but for three of the 4 days, it was all about hockey. So we played our first two games. We played Wednesday and Thursday, and then we got Friday off. So we left the hotel around, I think, 10 in the morning, drove 3 hours to Tokyo, and went to the old town of Tokyo. I think it's called Asakusa. And we got to explore and walk around there. And we brought the jersey of Taylor Holtz, who was injured right before the trip, so she wasn't able to come with us. So we took her jersey and took a bunch of photos and walked around, tried a bunch of the foods. We had sushi, which was amazing. They made it for you and put it out on little conveyor belts that wound throughout the restaurant. And you just kind of picked up whatever sushi you wanted. And then at the end of the meal, they count all the plates and they charge you based on how many plates you have stacked up and what color plates you have. So that was a really exciting experience for me. I think the only other time I had had sushi like that was I was either in Spain or France backpacking through parts of Europe, and I can't remember which one it was, but definitely don't have any. I'm in Edmonton right now, and we don't have anything like that in Edmonton, so that was pretty exciting. So the food was good. Everyone got to do a little bit of, you know, touristy sightseeing and get some gifts to bring back home to friends and family. So it's a perfect spot to do it. And then we went to downtown Tokyo, which looks like the Times Square of Tokyo, all the lights and, you know, big screens and big buildings and shopping and everything like that. So that part was obviously less traditional, but made me feel a little bit more at home. Wasn't as much of a culture shock there. And then we went to a Japanese steakhouse for dinner, and it was really good. We got to fry our own meat and try a bunch of different things. It wasn't just, you know, steaks and porks. We had cow tongue, which I've never, ever had before, but glad to say that I've tried it. And then we
You
bussed back
could
home
say
to
that you
Grandma.
never ever have it again.
Absolutely. I will never ever have it again. But I tried it and it was good. It was a good experience, I should say. And then that was it.
Now, I just have to say, I'm just sitting here with the biggest smile on my face because I'm going, this is amazing. Why can't I be in Japan right now?
Yeah, I know. Who would have thought we'd ever get, paid to go to Japan and play hockey? I never thought it would be possible. So I'm still in awe and so happy for the opportunity.
Now, we're going to leave, go to a break on that note. But when we come back, we're actually going to start breaking down the games that you played in. So we're going to go to break, and we'll be right back with Jenny Scrivens and more on the New York River's trip to Japan. Ladies and gentlemen, that next big convention's right around the corner, which is AwesomeCon. AwesomeCon, which is June 3rd through 5th, 2016, at the Walter E. Washington Convention Center in Washington, D.C. Come see special guests like Adam West, Burt Ward, Marina Baccarin, and many others. For more information, please visit awesome-con.com today. And ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Experience Hockey Talk, Serious Hockey Talk for the Serious Hockey fans. And we are doing our NWHL special on the New York Riveters trip to Japan. And joining me is Jenny Scrivens. Earlier, we were talking about the culture in Japan, both hockey, food, everything else. Now it is actually time to break down the games. Jenny, you were mentioning that you had two games, one game on Wednesday, one game on Thursday, then a day off, and then you played one more. So let's start with the game on Wednesday. What was the result of that game, and how do you think that game went for you and the Riveters?
Yeah, we won that game. I want to say the score was 3-1. But I think that we played really well despite all of the travel that we had done, because we had just gotten into Nikko the night before and skated, and we had the morning to sleep in a little bit, no pregame skate, but I think that worked in our favor to get some rest. But our team played really well, and I think one of my biggest fears was underestimating Team Japan, and I don't think we did that at all. So we came out strong, didn't take them for granted, and I'm trying to think. I think that was when Amber Moore got one of her first goals, but it was a good overall game, and we didn't give them too many chances. So I played that first game. Nana played for Team Japan and played half the game and switched halfway through with her other goalie partner. So it was the first time that the Riveters have had to face Nana Fujimoto. So that was pretty scary.
And we'll get to that in a little bit, because I have a lot of questions I want to ask in regards to that, but I want to focus more on the games right now. Mm-hmm. Because and I'm trying to pull up your supposedly the stats, which they don't have up on the website, which you can go to nwhl.co for more information and stuff like that, and to read the double overtime blog by Amber. Where to go? Amber Moore.
Yep.
Which has more pictures of food.
Oh yeah, lots of food. Yeah, that's Amber Moore's blog is a really good snapshot of the entire trip, and she's hilarious. So her humor definitely comes through in her writing.
And I'm trying. Okay, yeah, the Riveters on the first day you won by a score of 3-1. Amber Moore was given star of the game for her goal, her first of the season.
Yep.
Madison Packer scored. And Ludmila Belikova scored.
Yeah. That sounds about right.
And the Japan goal, I found it on your website. The Japan goal was scored by Yuka Hirano, which actually tied the game up early in the second period. Or no, the Riveters tied up the game after Yuka scored.
Japan scored first. So at the end of the first period, it was Japan 1, New York 0. And then Amber got the first goal, I believe, to tie it up in the second.
And then it was followed up by Belikova's goal, in the second, and Madison Packer in the third. Yep. And then going in the game two, you let's see here. Doesn't give me a score.
I want to say that we lost that game 4-1.
It definitely does mention that you lost.
Yeah,
but it doesn't give you a score. So I'm assuming it's either 4-1 or 5-1, depending on how this is worded.
I think it was 4-1, unless they got an empty net. But, oh well. Oh, it was a good game. We weren't really able to capitalize on the chances that we got, and Japan obviously capitalized on theirs. So I don't think that the game itself was that much different. But, and again, I played that one. Nana played the first half for her team, for Team Japan, and then switched with the other goalie. So that was the last game that we had to face Nana, because she played for the Riveters for game three.
And it was 5-1 because they pulled you with 5 minutes left and to try to empty a netter. Yeah. And then on Saturday night, the Japanese national team won 4-3.
Mm-hmm.
Janine Weber got the Riveters on the board first, early in the second, followed up by Ashley Johnston.
Mm-hmm.
Then Japan would put another goal past Fujimoto to seal the game. Let's see here. It doesn't tell me all the goal scores. Apparently you were down 3-0 after the first, and you're able to stage the comeback.
Yeah, it was not a great start to the game, but I was pretty proud of the way that our team came back, and we didn't give up, so I think that was something to build on.
And just overall experience, just playing those three games, what was it like playing in all three games?
I mean, it was definitely a fun experience. It was different hockey than what I'm used to. It wasn't, I don't really know how to describe it. That Team Japan is fast and they're physical, but they're not quite, you know, the hockey is very different from North American hockey.
It wasn't crash-bang hockey.
No, it wasn't crash-bang hockey, and it wasn't flashy hockey. It was more team hockey. Like, they didn't – there were no plays that stood out to me, like, wow, that one player, you know, dangled at the blue line or did anything remarkable. It was more, like, more systems, more teamwork, and then they beat you that way.
So you would compare it to something that would be like the Soviets would back in, like, the 70s and the 80s.
Oh, maybe. I'm not too familiar.
Because – well, the big thing was with the Soviet – national team is that it was never about individual talent. It was always about team.
Yeah.
And chemistry. They came out in 5-man units. It was actually a big thing for the Russian Five for the Detroit Red Wings back in the 90s. Mm-hmm. You know, it
that
wasn't.
Makes sense.
Yeah. So, because even though you had guys like Sergei Fedorov, who was obviously a superstar who could do the flash, but, you know, when you put him with the other four guys and they all know how that works in that system,
mm-hmm.
It becomes all five guys just do a team play out on that ice, and it's not about one individual player.
Yeah. Nope, that sounds about right.
And we got our Russian Five reference in. We get our Russian Five reference in a Japan special.
Of course.
Go us! Now, with that, we're actually going to take one more break, and when we come back, now we're going to talk about Nana Fujimoto and the impact and the dynamic that it had on this series. So we'll be right back from a break.
Tilted Kilt girl Brittany here. Need a place to watch the game? Come to the Tilted Kilt Pub and Eatery at 5605 Spectrum Drive in Frederick, Maryland. Tilted Kilt Frederick, home of the world-famous Tilted Kilt girls, come to the best-looking sports pub you've ever seen for all your Washington Capitals games viewing pleasure. For more information on the Tilted Kilt Frederick, visit them on Facebook today.
And ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Experience Hockey Talk. Serious hockey talk for the serious hockey fans, and we are doing our NWHL special of the New York Riveters in their trip to Japan. And joining me is Jenny Scrivens. And now, Jenny, we're talking about the games just now, and one thing that you mentioned was that Nana Fujimoto played for Team Japan in the first two games and then played for the Riveters in the third game. Now, I got to ask, what was it like playing against Nana compared to the past, I mean, almost 2-3 months now playing with her?
For me, it was really fun just to, you know, look up the ice and see her at the other end. And I could just imagine she's over there smiling because she's always in such a great mood. But it was great. She's a good competitor. And I only got to play against her for the first half of each game. But from what I saw, you know, she's a leader back there. She's a great calming presence. And I can tell that her team likes playing with her.
Now, we were mentioning, I mentioned dynamic going into the break. What type of dynamic was that having her, like, trying to reword this question, the dynamic of having her not in the locker room for you ladies for those two games and then having her back in the locker room for that one game? What was that like, the whole dynamic of her being on another team and then being back with you?
Yeah, it was interesting. I mean, she would have some pregame meals with us too, so we would just kind of bug her and joke about, you know, having dinner with the enemy or something like that. But she's a good sport, and she took all of our jokes well. And I mean, we did miss her in the locker room, but it was fun to see from another perspective and see what it's like for her to play with Team Japan and, you know, how well they all played together. But we are certainly happy to have her back for game three.
And when you brought her back for game three, or even before game three, were you trying to pick her brain a little bit, try to get like little gems on what you ladies can use against the other team?
No, I didn't, because I knew I wasn't going to play again. But no, we just kind of, we didn't really pick her brain about the other team. I think we were just trying to be fair and not bug her too much. But she did say, I think she said that her team commented about how well our players shoot the puck and how tough we were to play against. So that was a nice compliment, but no getting tips from the other team.
Now, another dynamic to this trip when it comes to Nana is the fact that she's back in her home country. Mm-hmm. Were you able on your day off, or any of the other times for that matter, able to have her be kind of like a tour guide in a way, or to be a teacher?
Yeah, so that day we took off and were able to go to Tokyo, she helped show us around, and we did kind of split up into groups just because, you know, 30 people walking around Tokyo would be a little bit too crazy. But I went with Nana and a few other people to go walk around Osaka Sauna, and she helped us order sushi and helped us, you know, figure everything out, because there were many places we went where people didn't speak English. So like when we went to the Japanese sushi place, and we saw this green powder and a water spout at our table, she was able to show us that the green powder is, it was a powdered version of that typical Japanese green tea you get at sushi places. So she showed us how to put it in your mug and then turn the faucet on and make your own green tea, which I had never seen before. So it was little things like that where she helped us to not embarrass ourselves and not make a fool of ourselves. So it was good.
Now I have to say, embarrassing yourself is always part of the funnest stuff to do, but that's just coming from a guy who embarrasses himself too much. Now, was she the one to talk you into eating the cow tongue?
No, she didn't even need to do that. We all tried it.
So,
I don't know if she liked it, though. That's a good question.
So she didn't, like, coerce you into, oh, yeah, try it, it'll be all right, and then tell you afterwards what it was?
No.
Did she try doing that to you for anything at all?
No, she's too sweet to do that.
Oh, man, not a practical joker in the locker room.
No.
Now... I feel slightly disappointed now. I might have to take off my Batman Japan t-shirt now. No, I'm just kidding. But overall, with everything that you've been able to share with everyone on this trip to Japan, what are some of the biggest things that you take out of this trip? from just going to Japan first and then hockey wise?
I think it was a really great bonding experience for the team. I don't know that any other NWHL team will have this opportunity this year. I mean, obviously growing the league and creating a global imprint is a big part of the league, but I just look at it as a wonderful opportunity for the Riveters to travel abroad together, to kind of go through all the crazy ups and downs of traveling so far and being in a foreign country. And I think that we'll be able to take that back to our games this weekend and really use that to our advantage, because I think that we are a really tight-knit group, and I think that it shows on the ice.
Okay, and then overall, what was your biggest take from a hockey perspective?
For me, it was like the mental challenge of, you know, fighting through being tired and jet-lagged and fighting through playing against a team in a style of play that we've never played against before. So I think that will help. I'm sure it's not just me. I'm sure it's a lot of the other girls too. There's a lot of distractions too, right? When you're traveling that far, you're in Japan and you want to have fun and you want to be with your teammates, and you really have to bear down and focus on playing the game. So I think the challenge of playing those three games abroad will really help us grow.
And just to throw this out there, because obviously we're talking about the Riveters trip to Japan, there was another exhibition series that happened beforehand, which was the Boston Pride to Minnesota for the Minnesota Whitecaps. For that type of exhibition series, obviously it's not to the same scale as going to another country like Japan, but for going to Minnesota, what type of impact do you think that that has as well, not for the NWHL, while we're also talking about exhibition series?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's great to bring the NWHL to especially a place like Minnesota where hockey's so big. And if I remember correctly, I think they split the series. So Boston won one game, Boston won the first game, and Minnesota won the second game. And yep. I think that's a wonderful way to grow the game and get more young women interested in playing the game and bring it to a bigger audience who already cares so much about hockey. So show them why they should support the NWHL and professional women's hockey. But I'm sure it was a great opportunity for the Boston team to get together and travel and get to know one another, because it's hard to do in a league like this where we're only playing one game a week.
And not only that, but another thing is that, and people find this out on Saturday's episode of the regular episode on Saturday, we won't have Hillary Knight on, who is the player of the week, because of the U.S. training camp.
Mm-hmm.
Due to that, we won't be able to have her on this week. So you also have stuff like that coming in, where there's all these tournaments as well that kind of can disrupt a team's chemistry.
Yeah, I don't know if it disrupts the team's chemistry, but you know, just kind of adds to the chaos.
Yeah. But with that, Jenny, I want to thank you so much for coming on, talking about the trip to Japan.
Thank you very much for having me.
And for everyone else, you can follow the NWHL on Twitter at @NWHL_. And obviously for more information on them, go to NWHL.co. You can follow the Experience Hockey Talk on Twitter at Experience Hockey, and on Facebook at Facebook.com/Experience Hockey Talk. And this has been the Experience Hockey Talk. I've been Michael Lindbaum. She's been Jenny Scrivens. And we have been brought to you by the Tilt a Kilt Frederick, the Tilt a Kilt Pub and Eatery, located at 5605 Spectrum Drive in Frederick, Maryland. Come to the Celtic-themed sports pub featuring the world-famous Tilt a Kilt girls. For more information on Tilt a Kilt Frederick, visit them on Facebook today and expect an announcement in regards to Tilt a Kilt on Saturday's episode. Jenny, thanks again for coming on.
Thank you very much.